Hey John, can we talk about pizza?
Can we eat pizza?
We did.
Okay.
I'm Drew.
And I'm John.
And this is our ongoing catalog of everything, 1 hour at a time. Naples is where I think it got its big start. That's where it really took off, right?
Well, okay, I think, yeah, that's
I'm sure this is in dispute.
I'm sure it is, because somewhere out there's probably somebody who was like, hey, my great-great-great-grandfather ate a tomato on a cracker and had cheese on it, and that's pizza.
Yeah,
But
exactly.
that's a good distinction, because I think we attribute the origin of pizza to Naples, which is where they presumably first
Yeah.
crafted this.
Neapolitan.
Like,
Not the ice cream.
I was just gonna say, does that mean that a pizza from Naples had like strawberry and
Yeah,
chocolate
strawberry,
and
chocolate, vanilla. No, it was right, it's a style. And it's actually
It's a state of mind.
preserved as a style. Like there are law, not laws, there are guidelines you must follow. It's like
They're like
standards,
pizza
regulated.
statutes.
You can't call a pizza Neapolitan unless, I think this is correct, unless you follow certain guidelines when cooking it and in the toppings you put on it.
So there's regulation to the actual preparation.
Literally the preparation, the type of dough, the way it has to be, like you can't use a rolling pin. You actually have to hand knead it, or you can use a small mixer thing, like an actual
A mixer thing.
like a bread.
Oh, like yeah, the thing that moves the dough
It's not,
around
yeah, you're
and
not using your hands, and it's an automated thing, but you can't use a big one, I guess. And the, what are the, it's like tomato, basil, I think extra virgin olive oil on the
Oh
pizza
yeah.
dough.
Oh yeah.
Like you, it's very,
Extra virgin.
and then mozzarella, I
What?
believe. Mozzarella, I believe, is the standard type of cheese.
Okay.
I'm going off memory,
Okay.
so that could be
Your time
wrong.
in Naples, where you
Yeah,
were
I spent a few
when you first
summers there.
crafted
Few
pizza
stolen summers. Yeah.
with a beret. No,
Yeah.
that's French.
I think you're allowed to wear a beret in Italy.
Why not?
Hey, wait, Naples. Is Naples Italy?
I think so.
It's in Italy.
It is in Italy.
It's because,
Yeah, it's in like the southwestern
you grow up
region of Italy.
thinking like that something is a city and it turns out it's a country. You know
Right.
what I mean?
Like
And then
India.
you, yeah.
Yeah.
Then you look like a jerk.
Yeah, all the time. Every day, all day. But what you're saying is that pizza, the common American understanding of pizza is vastly different than
Right? I
Neapolitan
mean,
pizza.
it's all about variation.
Right.
The
It's the slice of
choice,
life or the slice of
excess.
pizza.
Like, the pizza culture is pretty
It is
huge.
wide and diverse.
Yeah, it is broad and it is deep.
Dish. Yes, and everyone I think probably has like a favorite kind of pizza,
Yeah.
you know, like a pizza style. Okay, so and let's run down those
Okay.
because I think okay, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna throw out a different style of pizza, and you're going to say
I'll say,
the first thing that comes to mind.
oh, okay.
All right. Chicago style pizza. Okay, maybe not. Maybe we'll just go. Let's go through them.
No, that was my response.
Oh, okay.
Was nah.
Nah, okay.
Chicago has a couple styles though. Chicago style has they have the two extremes. They have the thin crust and they have the deep dish. I think pan may have also come from
Okay.
Chicago. So it's weird. There's like variations in deep dish because there's deep dish and there's pan and then there's, I feel like there's another one. Oh, stuffed. They have something called stuffed pizza, which I thought originally stuffed crust, made popular by, I think, Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut, yeah. Man, Pizza Hut will try anything. Pizza Hut is like the they're like the breakfast cereal of pizza vendors. They will do anything. They'll be like, yeah, jalapenos in the crust.
They're much like, I mean, they're much like Taco Bell, right?
Right.
They're owned by the same corporation. But Taco Bell, and as Taco Bell has, what, 6 or 7 ingredients, and they repackage it in different ways, and that's sort of how they mm-hmm. build a menu. Pizza Hut's doing a similar thing where it's always a pizza. We're just making it different. Like, here's the Bigfoot, and this is just a big pizza. Here's the stuffed crust. Here's a pizza on a pizza. They did that, right? Stacked, like, I forget what they called it, but it was like, and my sister loved it. And it was good. I'll admit, I enjoyed it as well. You know what? You could say that smacks of tradition, because pizza is all about it exploring the different ways that you can package it. Hence, deep dish, thin crust, right? So anyway, Chicago style,
yeah,
I don't need it.
Okay. All right. Now what about St. Louis style?
St. Louis style. So, thin crust, mm-hmm. much like Chicago style, in fact, nearly identical. What differs here is the cheese, all right?
There is none.
there is an approximation of cheese.
Uh-huh.
And do you know the name?
Well, it's called Provel.
It is called Provel. It is the fusion of 3 different cheeses into one.
Okay.
Can you guess what cheeses they are?
I'm going to guess one of them is mozzarella.
You are correct.
I
think you may be incorrect about that, actually. Oh. Go ahead and... mozzarella is not one of them.
Mozzarella is not.
I apologize. That is the one I thought it was, too.
Provolone.
Yes.
Yeah.
2 more.
L?
Nope. They are provolone.
Provolone.
Cheddar.
No.
And Swiss.
No.
Yes.
No.
These 3 cheeses fuse to become one.
Their powers combine.
Form Provel. And it was... It was really interesting to read about this because Provel cheese was created because... I forget by who. Customers wanted a cheese that didn't stretch and that had a clean bite. So you'd bite it and you wouldn't get a whole bunch of stuff trailing off of the pizza as you pulled the slice away.
That's absurd. That's the best part of
pizza. That's how they always market pizza, too. You know?
Yeah, you see those strings of cheese just being stretched
out. Like yard-long ribbons of cheese as you pull the slice away from your face. Yeah, which... in real life, would annoy the heck out of me, to be honest.
Yeah, sure. I guess it's a bit of a drag, but...
Costa Grocery in the 50s, okay? This is a St. Louis firm. Huh. They developed Provel cheese. They hired a company in Wisconsin to do it. So Provel comes to us by way of Wisconsin, the cheese capital of the United States.
Which makes sense.
I think there's something to that, right? Like, so people always give Provel a hard time, you know, and it is a weird cheese. I'm not going to dispute that. And I wouldn't put it on my pizza.
Really?
It's a bit slimy.
Okay.
In my estimation.
Okay.
If I can choose cheese, I'll choose mozzarella.
Okay.
But it comes from a very cheese-oriented place. You know what I mean? Like, these guys know cheese.
Right.
So Provel has some...
It's legit.
Yeah, it's totally legit. Yeah. It's not a fake cheese.
There's some validity behind it.
There's 3 cheeses in one. It's called Provel. It comes from Wisconsin. And it was developed to please the St. Louis palate. All right?
Okay.
And so that brings us to today. That's why we have Provel. The name... is an amalgamation of provolone and mozzarella, and it's only because those are the cheeses that are most often used on pizza. So and I think it's somewhat disputed, but that is why the two are combined.
That is absurd.
But it makes you think that the cheese is made of provolone and mozzarella, which it is not.
See, that's probably why people have such a problem with it. It's not the fact that it is an amalgamation of other cheeses. It's the fact that it is a lying cheese.
Well, as much as a cheese can lie, it is lying. It's putting on a front.
It is. It's putting on a front. It's almost like saying, well, cheddar and Swiss, they're not.
It's the cheese, like, you know, in high school, like, cheddar and provolone and mozzarella are all, like, hanging out, you know, and they've got combat boots and, like, they got leather jackets with spikes, you know.
Right,
and
they're sniffing glue.
Cheddar's got a mohawk and, like, they're, like, hardcore, they're real, you know, they're punk rock and they're not putting on a front.
No.
And then this new kid shows up, you know, and he's nervous, all
right? Right.
It's a new school. It's hard enough to make friends anyway.
Right, and he just moved in from Wisconsin.
Yeah, he just moved farm boy from Wisconsin, all right? And he's like, fresh start, maybe I can make some friends here. He gets, like, made fun of by all the cool kids.
Right.
He sees, like, mozzarella and provolone over there. He's like, oh man,
they're
legit,
they're respected,
people don't mess with them. All right,
okay, that's good.
Mozzarella and provolone, look, they're not cheddar, they're not American where they're so popular it's annoying, okay? Right.
No, it's true,
they're not the top annoying of the school, but you don't mess with them, you leave them alone. They're somewhat outcasts, right? But they formed their own group. Their solid group. Okay, at cheese high. Here comes Provel. Like we said, fresh from Wisconsin.
Right.
Farm boy.
Still got like a little piece of grass between his teeth.
Sticking, it looks like
chewing
it.
On. Yeah.
First day, he sits alone in the cafeteria. And, you know, no one's being nice to him.
Are they serving pizza? Because that'd be weird.
It's weird, but they are. And they're eating it. It's totally strange. You know, and he tries to sit with like, I don't know, well, he doesn't sit with goat cheese or feta, because that's a weird kid's.
They're kind of like, they're foreign exchange students.
Yeah, they're over there being weird.
Right, right.
Right, they smell. He's not sitting over with the sort of snooty blue cheese faction, right?
Right.
They, you know, he kind of like tests the waters with Gouda and stuff like that, but you know, that Gouda's nice, but he's kind of standoffish too, and so he sits alone.
He's full of himself.
Yeah, he's a little full of himself. Yeah. So Provel sits on his own for the first day, but he sees off in the corners at their own table, provolone and mozzarella, and they're not. No one's messing with them. People leave them alone. They look like they're confident, whatever, right? Provel's like, whoa, and you know, he pulls like he goes over to Parmesan, all right?
Oh.
Who's kind of weird? Because is he a cheese? I don't, you know.
Parmesan,
kind of
yeah.
a dust, really.
He's sort of like the screech of
of
cheese high.
He asks, he's like, who are those guys over there? Right? And Parmesan's like, oh, that's
provolone and mozzarella.
Right, and so Provel goes home and he looks up provolone and mozzarella on the internet. And he's like, oh, man. So he sees all the cool things. So he goes out and he, you know, buys a leather jacket and he puts dye in his hair and stuff like this. And he, you know, he puts a big, like, A on his, with, you know, the anarchy symbol on his t-shirt. And his mom's like, why'd you ruin that nice shirt?
Right,
his mom's
right.
Swiss, his dad's... his mom's Swiss and his dad's cheddar, and he's got an uncle provolone. Starting to break down.
No, because his uncle was just like those other kids. He can't relate to his parents.
Yeah,
he can't relate
exactly.
to his Swiss mother or his cheddar father, but he can totally relate to his cool
uncle provolone. Yeah, he's like, you just So we asked him, like, were you like that as a kid? And he's like, yeah. So he gets his uncle's old jacket.
Oh, all right? Yes.
And he ruins one of his shirts and stuff like his mom's really angry. And
he's ripping his jeans.
Yeah, exactly. And then he shows up at school the next day and he strides on over to the table where Provolone and Mozzarella are sitting. Mm-hmm. They let him sit there. They're not jerks.
Right.
But everybody can tell. Prevel's putting on a front. Mm-hmm. He's not for real.
He's a poser.
He's a poser.
Yeah.
However, if he would just own his Wisconsin roots.
His heritage.
His heritage. He'd have so much more.
Cheese born heritage.
Yeah, right? Like, he is from where cheese is revered.
Right.
And where it's done right. Have you ever been in a Piggly Wiggly in Wisconsin?
No.
Oh, boy. You got a huge, like, you've got so many options when it comes to cheese.
Wow.
It's pretty great. So I think if Prevel, like, if we had marketed it differently, if we had really, like, pushed the, hey, man, this is from Wisconsin.
If we had called it, if we had used an amalgamation of.
Yeah, like.
Its actual
heritage. Twistalone. Yeah. Right. Yeah, if there was an, I think they should have been more honest with it.
Yeah.
And then you'd have some, I think there is some, in the end, I do think there is some pride to be had in Prevel.
Now, what about New York style?
New York style. It's good stuff. Mm-hmm. I think they're good at it.
I think they are too. They've had a little longer to work on it.
Yeah, and you've also got some pretty strong roots. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, you've got Italian immigrants for real up in New York. For real. They're not playing around, and so they've got some heritage there, and I think that it's born of a culture of walking and the street and sort of, you know, you don't get a whole pizza, you get a slice, right? I think that's how it works. You know, you're buying it by the slice, and it's all about what, wrapping it, you know, like a sandwich almost.
Yeah.
You fold that pizza in half and you eat it. I think it's pretty cool, and they have usually good sauce, you know. Mm-hmm. Sauce is a big deal, right?
Absolutely. It's one of the three major ingredients.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's at least as big a deal as dough and cheese.
I don't know, does the New York style go beyond the form factor?
I think it does because, I would attribute New York style its own crust.
Mm,
I think...
Sort of a chewy...
Yeah, it's chewy. It has you know, a big, thick handle on the end. There's a doughy mass on the end, which does not sound appetizing at all.
Yeah,
but
it's good.
But, like, it's not deep dish throughout. It's not, you know, thick. The crust is not thick throughout. It's kind of rollable or foldable towards the in the main part of the slice.
Yeah, does all other pizza derived from this style that you know, like, that you get from when it's not thick crust or thin crust and it's just sort of a hand tossed.
Mm-hmm. I would say that's basically New York style.
That's good. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I think when ordering pizza, I generally get a deep pan sort of crust. Mm-hmm. But yeah, standard, you know, hand tossed handle at the end.
Yeah, handle.
Style pizza, that's good.
It is good. It's damn good.
Yeah.
And of the three, like, types that we've discussed, I would say New York style is probably closest to optimum pizza.
Yeah, I think it's a less perilous pizza, right? It's middle of the road.
It's a less perilous pizza.
Right? Yeah. If you're in a place that you're unfamiliar with, and
you want a slice of pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
Comfort food.
You can't go wrong.
Right.
Because it's not, the dough is usually not overpowering. Because, you know, thick crust is the crispy kind of, the dough doesn't, like, shout at you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's there, but it's not the star of the show.
Right. It's a supporting player.
Yeah. I think all the ingredients in a New York pizza are coming together. None is singing out on its own, right?
It's the perfect ensemble piece.
As a whole, the cheese, the sauce, and the dough are all sort of working together.
Yeah.
Right? It's not all on the dough. It's not all on the cheese, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's a team effort.
So that's why I say it's your middle of the road. Not to say that that it's mediocre, but to say that it's
right.
You know,
it's, well, and there are degrees within all of these. Yeah. There are, you know, some who really, no matter what the style, they take it up to the top.
Yeah,
they go for it. They're the pinnacle of pizza.
Pinnacle of pizza.
Yeah.
I guess those are the prevailing styles as we know them. I mean, I don't think anyone outside of St. Louis would would put St. Louis style pizza.
Probably not.
In that list, but we do because
we're... See, I wonder, like, do people in New York be like...
I don't think they know anything
about it. Do they
even
know that there is a St. Louis
style? Well, why would they?
Right, right. Why would you bother?
Well, how would it cross their radar?
Yeah.
And if they did experience it, they would assume it's Chicago. And that's fine. Weird. You know, that's weird. Fine. We're not... We don't need the validation.
That's true. Well, especially since, like, I don't even eat St. Louis style pizza.
Yeah, I don't need it very rarely. But,
Well, I remember my first day at public school. I was very scared of getting pummeled, and sure enough, I did at first recess. I got pegged in the head by a big red ball and stung, and my head hung back to class with a bloody nose, and soon it was lunchtime. Mom said I should ask about how poor kids could get fed, so I got a book of tickets and a schedule, and it read Monday hot dog, Tuesday taco, Wednesday hamburgers and chocolate milk, Thursday sloppy joes and burritos in a bag. Friday was pizza day, the best day of the week. All the kids would line up super early just to eat. Monday hot dog, Tuesday taco, Wednesday hamburgers and chocolate milk, Thursday sloppy joes and burritos in a bag. Friday was pizza day, the best day of the week. We always give a salad and a side of cold green tea. Hooray for pizza day, hooray for pizza day.
Shimmy, shimmy. Why is pizza so awesome?
Oh, wow. There are factors. There are personal preferences.
Mm-hmm.
And my journey to pizza is extremely focused around the Ninja Turtles.
Really?
Yeah, man. I mean, not that I didn't like pizza before they came around, but boy, they sold it, didn't they? Were like pizza power.
They did. Yeah, you do have to kind of wonder if maybe there was some sort of lobby behind the Ninja Turtles, pizza lobby.
And so when the turtle, you know, so I was a huge fan of the Turtles, and they loved pizza, so I loved pizza. Makes sense. That's where my pizza journey starts, I think. Mm. And then I matured in my tastes, and of course, I like pizza on its own merits now. Pizza's awesome because, like, you can get it. It can come to you. Right? I think it's such a wide range. You can make it yourself. You can order. And I think the range of all of it's usually good.
Mm-hmm.
You can make it yourself. It's awesome.
Right.
And I'm talking from scratch, right?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
You can even get frozen. Wheat flour. Frozen pizzas aren't bad. You know, you get the right frozen pizza.
There's delivery, there's frozen, there's make...
There's restaurant.
Self-made. There's pizza. Yeah, the pizza parlor. Now, is there a distinction between a pizzeria and a pizza parlor?
Oh, I don't know. Is there? Well, pizzeria, I think you could claim to be a pizzeria and not have sit-in dining, right? Oh,
okay.
You could just be delivering pizza, it, right? Just,
right.
A parlor, you absolutely have to have dining there.
And I think it has to be somewhat dark and cavernous.
Ooh, yeah, you've got... lighting.
You got those red and white checkered tables.
Yeah. You've got a red pepper flakes and parmesan on the tables, and you've got candles. You know, little votive candles and stuff like that, or maybe a gas candle. Yeah, man, dark.
Step into my pizza parlor.
Maybe underground,
Yeah.
You go down under a building,
down a staircase.
Yeah, into the ground. It smells awesome.
Of course.
Right. It's an experience, and it's like, I think it is very, it's made for having a memory of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the fact that it's dark in there, and it's small tables, and, you know, it's specifically for pizza.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any of, like, the things that you would typically associate with other kinds of restaurants, you know?
Yeah.
There's no, like... wine cellar
or
anything like that. There's nothing, you know, you don't even necessarily need like a menu.
Yeah.
Really, you know? Typically, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that part of the reason why pizza is so meaningful is because of the pizza parlor, that experience of it. I mean, I think it works, the delivery element of it, because it is so unique and so cool.
Yeah.
You know, that is something special too.
Yeah.
And that it means something. It has an impact. But I think the pizza parlor, that is really where it
begins. It has the most significant, I think, meaning to it, right? Because everybody's pizza delivery experience is going to be different.
True.
But, and to a degree, everyone's parlor experience will be different. Right. But
they're good and bad
parlors are, you know, more, I think, like we can call up a picture of a parlor in our minds that is similar.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And I think that's where, like, you can really...
And they're unlike other places, too. You know, it's not like a pizza shack, like a burger shack.
Yeah.
It's a pizza parlor. Maybe it's a pizza den sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a den and a parlor, these are very...
It's the comfort of it.
Yeah.
It feels like a family, like a family place, you know?
Yeah.
A place to join together.
Come on, everybody. Let's go into the parlor.
Pizza delivery is a whole other beast. It's a whole other situation.
Whole other beast.
And I'm personally familiar with it.
Because you have eaten pizza that was delivered.
I have delivered pizzas that were eaten.
Yes.
Everybody orders pizza. Everybody does. No one doesn't order pizza.
Right.
So you're meeting every type of person, right? You're from the richest of the rich, the poorest of the poor. You've got big parties, and you've got lonely people, and you've got, you know, like, you're the only person they ever see, right?
Right, yeah. You're like their best friend.
You've got...
You bring them food.
Yeah. You've got stoners and drunks and, like, you end up delivering to every aspect of society.
So what was the greatest pizza delivery experience?
The greatest... Well...
Like, did you ever go to somebody's house and be like, hey, we're having a party, come on in?
That happened a few times, and I was not down with that. I didn't want a party. You get offered tips and beer a lot of the time.
Oh, that's nice.
Sometimes and weed, if that's your thing. And, and you know, you'd either politely accept or decline, right? But the best experience I had... and definitely the most provocative. I delivered a pizza to an apartment, and the person that opened the door was a lady.
Oh.
And she was probably around my age or so.
Oh.
And she was in, it's probably a bikini, but...
Probably?
It looked kind of like underwear.
Huh.
But she had clearly just come from the pool.
Okay.
And she's like, oh, the pizza, right, the pizza. Come in.
I love this, that, like, these people, they're just like, oh, we haven't been actually waiting for this pizza. You know, I mean, when you order a pizza, you're like, you know, you're looking at the clock. You're like, when the hell is the guy going to get here with the pizza? No. But these people, they're like, oh, yeah, we ordered food.
They completely forgot.
I was hungry. Yeah.
But she was like, oh, right. I think maybe she, you know, had expected to be out of her swimming wear and into regular plain clothes. Okay. But she's like, oh, come in. And I'm like, oh, I'll come in then. However, I am the type of guy who gets really nervous in this type of situation and also doesn't want to come off as, like, sleazy or, you know, like, pervish. And so the whole time, I'm like, just look straight ahead. Just look straight ahead. Eyes forward. And she's like looking for the money. She's rooting around. She's running all over her apartment. And then another girl comes in and from outside, basically, uh-huh, where I just was. And she's like, oh, pizza guy. And I'm like, hey. And she goes, are you driving the Jeep out there? And I'm like, yeah. And she says to her roommate, hey, he goes to Webster University, too. And and she's like, oh, wow, you know. And were I a confident kind of guy at that point in my life. I may have tried to strike up some form of conversation, but I just sort of...
Instead you were like, 1954!
Yeah, exactly. Here is the price of your pizza. And so she gave me the money and, you know, said thanks, and that was it. But it was definitely the most interesting and exciting pizza deliveries I ever had.
What's the worst?
The worst is I had 3 deliveries left. Okay. It's about 15 to midnight.
Okay.
And that's when we close. So I head out, take the first delivery, you know, whatever, and then I'm on to the next one. And the second delivery, I pull into, it's sort of a condominium complex, or like a townhome complex, right? And so I pull up to the place in front of the driveway, and there's a couple kids standing out there, probably late teenagers, like 18 or 19. You know, they're just waiting outside for the pizza, which is not... strange, like that happens all the time.
Right, yeah. People want their pizza.
So I walk up.
Oh, pizza guy.
Yeah. Oh, did we order pizza? So I walk up to these guys and I'm like, hey, totals, whatever, right? Tell them the price. And they're like, do you have change for 50? And I say, yeah, give me a second. Go back to my car, grab all the money from the night to make change. And I get back up to them and I get, I don't know, within a couple yards, you know, face to face, and one of them pulls out a can of mace and
and sprays it on the pizza.
He's like, I
what
like
a disgusting.
And he said, I like it extra spicy. No, he sprays it in my eyes, which is the customary spot for spraying mace.
Right.
And it's weird because, like, as
it doesn't do good to spray it in the pants.
No. Yeah, exactly. And he's that. What's really strange is, like, as that's happening, sort of everything slows down. And in my head, I'm, like, trying to make sense of what's occurring. And I sort of think to myself, okay, he's spraying something in my eyes. Why, what do people spray in people's eyes? I'm like, oh, it's mace. It must be mace. And
right. Oh, mace. Oh.
And so then time goes back into normal speed, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm being maced. And like it's instant, right? You know, like burning pain, and I drop the money and I drop to the ground. And the kid yells, "Drop the money!" And I'm like, "I did." And he and it's two kids and like,
"Oh, sorry."
"Where'd you drop it?" They grab the money, they run off, right?
Okay.
So I'm on the ground and I'm confused and I'm like disoriented. I've just been maced. It's like, I've probably roll around for a couple minutes and finally kind of get up and try to collect myself. But, you know, mace, it burns your eyes, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's a burning pain. It also burns any skin that it came into contact with.
Awesome.
So your skin's burning. It makes you hyperventilate. And so my hands went numb and it makes your glandular systems go into overdrive. So I've got snot pouring out of my nose and tears rolling down from my eyes, and I'm breathing heavy, and, you know, it's like a really, it's a really sorry state. And I'm, like, trying to figure out what to do, and I had a cell phone, but at this point in time, people didn't think about their cell phones, you know what I mean? The way that you do now, where you're, like, immediately you would call someone.
Yeah.
And me, it's in my car, and I don't even think of it half the time.
It's a
so,
whole other country.
Yeah. So I start knocking on people's doors, and no one's answering. It's like midnight, and I'm like, "What do I do?" You know, I've just been maced and robbed or whatever. And I'm like, "Does this stop? Does the pain stop? Do I need to see a doctor?" Eventually, a car pulls in to the complex, and I'm like, "Okay, I'll follow this car to their home and get help."
Right.
So I sort of stumble behind this car as it drives, you know, it's pretty, luckily, pretty slowly to its house and pulls into its driveway. And I walk up to the person as they get out, and I look amazing because I've got snot coming out of my nose and tears and I'm breathing heavy and my face is red. I'm sort of like hunched over and hobbling toward this woman who's just gotten out of her car, and, you know, I'm trying to, like, I'm like, I just been maced and robbed, and I need help, and can you call an ambulance? And the woman is not from America, and she doesn't speak English.
Awesome.
So she doesn't understand, and I'm trying to just convey, I need help, and eventually I'm just like, water, can you, you know, I just need water, and I think that finally got through. And she literally walks me back into her garage and turns on the hose.
Okay.
So I take the hose, crouch down, and just, like, put it right on my eyes. And just having the water, you know, constant flow onto my eyes. It felt amazing. It's ice cold, you know, just like a hose water should be. Right? And it's just the incredible feeling. Instant relief. I don't know how much longer, but a little while later, a cop peeks his head around the garage door, and he sees me, and he's like, what's going on in here? And I tell him, you know, what happened, I got maced and stuff like that, and he says, okay, well, the first thing you're going to want to do is you need to take the water off of your eyes, and I'm like, no.
The first thing you're going to want to do is not tell me what to do, copper.
Because it feels amazing.
Right.
It feels great. He says, well, mace is oil-based, so the second you remove that water, you're just going to start right back in, just as bad. You know, it'll be like getting maced again. I'm like, you're not giving me a whole lot of incentive to remove the water.
I like how he's, like, providing this clinical analysis. Well... mace is made up of three parts oil to water, yeah.
The compound in mace. Let me show you.
He's actually in a lab coat with, like, beakers.
He's making mace for me. He's doing a practical explanation. And he says, I say, well, how, you know, what do I do? How do you stop it burning? And he's like, well, it just has to wear off. There's nothing you can do. And I'm like, he goes, come on out here outside where you get fresh air, it'll feel better. So take the water off, and sure enough, it's like getting maced a second time, and like the pain comes right back immediately. So he walks me outside. The fresh air does actually help. Like, it sort of eases things, and eventually an ambulance shows up, and they sit me down in there. They're checking my eyes to make sure there's no permanent damage. The cop who originally found me was like, oh, you know what? We do have this stuff at the station. It's called BioShield, and it sort of numbs the skin, and it'll help, you know, ease the pain. And he's like, I could go get that. Should I get that? And I'm like, yes, go get that.
We have this thing at the station. It's called Mace No More.
It cures mace.
We have these Band-Aids that stop bleeding. Do you want me to put one of these on?
Is that a good idea? So he goes and gets it, comes back with it, and gives it to the medic or whatever, right? The paramedic.
Uh-huh.
And it's in a spray bottle. And but he sprays me, and I'm like, oh, God. Flashback. No, and it does. It numbs your skin and your eyes, I guess. And it felt a lot better. A few days later, a detective shows up at the store and has me take him to the crime scene, and I walk him through it, what happened. He goes, okay, well, we're going to try to find these guys, so you may hear from us again. And then I think a few weeks later, I get called into the police station to look at, like, mugshots. And they bring me into the interrogation room, which is just like you've seen it. Right, like concrete lamp
hanging.
Steel table. Sit me down. There's two cops, two detectives. They slide a sheet of paper in front of me, and there's six photos of people on there. And they're like, "Are any of these guys familiar?"
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, "This looks like the guy that maced me." And he goes, "Okay." And he removes that one. He slides another sheet, six more photos, and he says, "Is anyone here familiar to you?" And I look at it for a second, and I'm like, no, none of these guys are that familiar. And he goes, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah. And he says, are you sure? And he taps one of the photos with his finger. No. And I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I don't recognize him. And they go, okay, well, we're going to go get this other guy. So you'll probably hear from us again. And then probably about a month later, I get a letter. It came to the store, actually, telling me that I had to appear at a hearing and testify. So I go there, 8 in the morning. They call me in about 3:30 in the afternoon. So I go in there, and I see the guy. He's there in the courtroom in, you know, prison clothes and chains.
Wow.
I'm like, whoa, justice. And they call me up to the stand, which is like the weirdest thing.
Wow.
You feel so defensive against everybody. At least I did when sitting on the stand. And the prosecutor asks me her questions first. And I even feel defensive against her, and she's on my side, you know.
Right.
But I'm answering everything, and then the defense attorney comes up. Oh, I forgot, the prosecutor asked me to point out, is the person who did this in the courtroom? And I point at the guy. Like, there he is. It's that guy right there.
Throw a rock at
him. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to hit him. You jerk. Then the defense attorney starts asking questions, and he eventually asks the question, when did you realize that the man had mace? And I, for whatever reason, decide to go into joke mode. And I, like, actually lean into the little microphone, and I go, when it was in my eyes? And, like, I look around the courtroom for a laugh. And, like... And the judge, I look at the judge, and she gives me this look like, come on, we're being adults in here. And it really seemed to throw the defense attorney, too. He was like, oh, yes, okay, but, and like he rephrased his question, and I tried to be, you know, professional rather than jokes. And that was it. They sentenced the guy. It was weird. They sentenced him to 5 years. In jail.
5 years.
However, wow. He did not have to serve that time. He only served 111 days, and the rest was like parole.
That's ridiculous.
It's really strange.
Okay. Yeah, 122. 122 and an 8? 122 and an 8. Terrific. Where the heck is 122 and an 8?
You're standing on it, dude. Just slip it down here. Give me that.
Hey, this is a 10. The tab's 13.
You're 2 minutes late, dude.
Ah, come on. I couldn't find a place.
Wise man say, forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza.
Do you have a preferred pizza delivery?
A preferred, like, a chain?
Yeah.
We're talking, like, national
chains. If you're ordering pizza from a chain.
Yeah, I'd probably go with Domino's.
All right.
Which is, it was the first chain that I ever ordered from. So... That's not why I do it, but I do remember. Because
you mean that you ordered personally, like the first time you were called upon to order the pizza over the phone?
The first time
like,
that
little John, you get to order a pizza today. And you're like, all right.
So I call him and I'm like.
You're like, which one should I eat? Call
hey,
Mom.
We want some pizza. And the guy's like, okay, what kind of pizza do you want?
Good ones. With cheese
and big and
does it come with a toy? No, it's pizza.
I want a Happy Meal with cheese.
It's pizza.
Can I get a Noid?
Do they have Noid toys?
They did. They had little...
you can get Noid toys.
They were like little figurines. They weren't like action figures or anything, but they were, you know, like those little plastic stationery.
Avoid the Noid. Should we talk about the Noid? I mean, should we describe the Noid? So the Noid was...
So, well, right. Like, Domino's was, I think, They were kind of like the McDonald's of pizza
places. One could say that, absolutely.
Because they tended to have like kind of a higher pop culture quotient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they were out there. They were visible.
Yeah.
Especially
in the time of the Noid.
Yes. And the Noid is really like that. The first time I had Domino's, I think, was like right before the Noid sort of came into being. And
you were pre-Noid.
I was pre-Noid, but just barely pre-Noid.
All right.
And so, like, when the Noid came, it was like, yeah, I didn't even like the Noid.
I don't think anybody did.
Nobody liked the Noid.
You weren't supposed to.
But it was just, he was always there.
Describe him.
So the Noid was like this, like, dwarf in a rabbit suit.
Yeah.
He was like
claymation, right?
Yes. Yeah, he was done like the California Raisins.
Yes.
In claymation style. Because this is right around the same era.
Absolutely.
It was like, suddenly claymation is huge in, like, 1988.
Lots of credibility.
Why? I don't know. But so he was animated via claymation, and he was this little, like, 4 foot tall, 3 foot tall guy, skinny little thing in like...
He had like a pot belly though, didn't he?
I think he did, yeah.
And what he would do is he'd steal your pizza, right?
Yes.
That was the whole thing.
Right.
Avoid the Noid.
Avoid the Noid.
This is the Noid. He loves to ruin your pizza. If you've ever gotten cold pizza, a squashed pizza, or pizza that just wasn't right, the Noid did it. At a Domino's Pizza, we avoid the Noid. So when you want hot, delicious quality pizza delivered in less than 30 minutes, Domino's Pizza delivers. One call does it all.
Did anyone else... Pizza Hut didn't have any kind of Noid-like character. Wasn't...
Pizza Hut was frequently they would do promotions with like whatever movie was popular.
Yeah, you're right.
Or like something.
Yeah.
And they did a thing with the Turtles.
Yes, they
I remember.
Did. Yes.
The Coming Out of Their Shells tour. You could get the cassette tape.
I went to that tour.
At
that was my first concert
so
ever.
Did I.
You went to that show.
I went to that show. Wait. This.
Wait a minute.
Get ready for this, because I went to that show.
Yeah.
And then I went to Pizza Hut.
Oh,
and I ate pizza.
Man, I bet I did too. I can't remember, but I'm sure
everybody
I pizza.
Did. They were like,
so
like
you...
all the pizza vendors, like whenever the turtle coming out of their shells tour, they were just like licking their lips.
Yeah.
They were like, open the doors, here they come.
So you went to this show here in St.
Yes,
Louis.
Yeah.
So we were both at that show.
We were at that show.
That's amazing.
It's
we didn't know each other at the
amazing.
Time.
I mean, we were both.
But they were our cheering
girls.
It on.
Yeah. Did
dancing.
You sing along? Did you sing
oh,
along?
Oh come on! Of course I did.
See, I played it cool.
Oh.
For like the first like 9 songs
we're
or whatever.
Coming out of my
I was just like, yeah, this is cool.
Oh,
it's all right. And I'm just like looking around, and you know, I'm watching the choreography on stage, and I'm like, yeah, it's cool turtles, you know. And then by the end of it, I was like, you know, rocking in
the
seat.
Oh, man. I was absolutely, from the first second, I was up and I was dancing. They played Pizza Power.
They did play
remember
Pizza
that song?
Power. Yeah.
Pizza Power. Do, 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 do. I don't remember the words.
Pizza Power.
Pizza Power. Threw foam pizzas out into the crowd.
I don't.
They were like
that.
Frisbee pizzas.
Oh man! Did you get one?
No, unfortunately.
Were you down on the floor, or were you on the?
Periphery? I was on the floor.
Wow!
On the floor.
See, I was up in the. Plaza
so
level
so
whatever.
Incredible that show.
It was a good show. Good time. And Pizza Hut sold the cassette tape.
That's right.
Of the.
That's right.
The collection of songs.
I wish I still had that cassette tape.
Oh, I might.
I had it. I mean, I'm sure you can get it online.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
Coming Out of Our Shells tour.
Yeah.
What an ingenious. But they were also, Domino's was in the first movie, I think, though. Domino's was the pizza
in
the first
movie. Yeah, that's
interesting.
They were.
And then the second movie, I think it was actually a generic kind of just New York,
right?
You know, pizza place.
West
for the
Side
most part.
Pizza or
yeah.
whatever, yeah.
But Pizza Hut often would partner with them.
Yeah, they were super
so
cool.
Pizza Hut more in the sort of pop culture, the latest fad,
they were,
movie, media
they
kind
were,
of thing.
They were trend followers.
Yeah.
They were trend spotting.
Papa John's for a while offered a free DVD with your pizza.
Pizza and a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a case of these DVDs at the store. Like, and there's usually three movies at any given time to choose from. And, you know, they're all pretty bad movies. Like, nothing that you actually wanted.
Right.
But that was really funny because when people would order their pizza, they would also... You'd have to ask which movie, do you,
movie
want?
Do you want?
Yeah. And you have to go in and get the little sleeve that had the... So weird to deliver a DVD.
Along with the food, yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, you wouldn't do that at a restaurant, you know? Like, you wouldn't, like, sit down and be like, yeah, well, I'll have the Turkey Club sandwich, you know, with chips. And a copy of Wayne's World, you know? It's bizarre.
I think Wayne's World might have been one of the...
Wayne's World was McDonald's.
Oh, was it?
I remember... Yeah, well, it wasn't a DVD. It was a VHS at the time. Yeah, but I remember that and Adam's Family. Those were
nice.
Two that you could get. Those are good movies.
Yeah, those are quality
Those are movies
films.
That you want to own.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you ever make pizza at home?
I do.
On your own?
Actually, yeah. I like making pizza at home. I will do it... I do it my own way. Like,
I do pizza my own way.
I do pizza my way. With barbed wire and sawdust.
I don't cotton to your standards of pizza. None of this Neapolitan business.
That's right. I just take a piece of white bread and I put a tomato on it. And then
that's my pizza.
A slice of cheese and
it's good.
Throw it in the oven.
Don't tell me. I call it pizza.
Then I dress up like the Noid, and I run around my house trying to get my pizza. I like making pizza.
What do you put on it?
My favorite kind of like pizza is to do artichoke, artichoke hearts, chopped up artichoke hearts. And I get this like sun-dried tomato pesto and use that as a sauce.
Wow.
And then do a couple different kinds of cheese, sprinkle those on there, and then put some artichokes on it.
It's pretty fancy.
It's not really. I mean, the artichokes are in jars, you know, and the
lowbrow jars. I just make pepperoni at home. I keep it simple.
All right, do you do the traditional round pizza, or do you do like the rectangular?
I try to make it round as I can.
Yeah.
I
do you get a pre-made crust, or do you use the dough?
I usually get a, I get like the mix. You know what I mean? You can get
like a
dough.
Like a kit kind
of
thing?
Okay.
Yeah,
that's what I've done.
Right.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah.
I can't say I don't have the time to make my own. I've just never tried to make my own dough.
I've never done it like from scratch.
Right.
I'll get like the Pillsbury stuff, just kind of spread out and stuff.
Yeah.
And I actually like that. Like I used to do like the already made crust.
Yeah.
And then I switched to the Pillsbury stuff. Mm-hmm. And next step, I'm just gonna have the cat, like, go out and gather up all the ingredients and bring them to me. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
They deliver it these days. Pizza. You can
really.
Yeah. Fall all completely made. Cooked.
What?
Baked.
I don't even have to turn on the oven.
You don't have to get the cat out of the cage.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible.
It is incredible. How do they deliver it? Do they have wings?
Yep. They
pizza angels?
Jets. They fly in jets.
Jets.
And they'll land. They'll drop your pizza. You have
what
to
if,
catch
like,
it.
In the future, like, how do you, where do you see pizza delivery going?
Oh, where does it go in the future?
Yeah, where next?
Well... you know, we're ordering it online now, right?
Right. And you can track it now.
Yeah,
like,
you can track your pizza.
Alan has just prepared your pizza and checked
Alan.
It for perfection.
Ugh, I hate Alan. He always screws it up. Dwayne is much better.
Yeah, I wish Dwayne would make my pizza. Then you gotta email them and be like,
next time.
Hey, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Stop Alan. Stop Alan.
Stop that. I want Dwayne to do it.
There's somebody at the Domino's or whatever who's just like constantly fielding emails
from
people.
Hold on, Alan. Dwayne, jump in there. In your little readout, Dwayne is now making your pizza.
Yes.
Yes. I win.
Victory. Then you call him up and you're like, ha ha, I win. Can I speak to Alan, please?
In the future of pizza delivery, you know, I assume your pizza will be beamed to you.
Oh, I like that.
Or maybe you'll have like some kind of like future oven, and like the pizza will be beamed into your oven.
Oh.
And the oven will cook it.
I like that. What about like the Back to the Future?
Yes.
The little cellophane wrapper,
like the freeze dry.
You know, like 3 inches or whatever diameter, and they put it in the little hydrator, and it turns into a pizza.
It makes that watery noise.
Yeah, yeah.
It comes out steaming.
Oh, great pizza, my favorite.
That was Pizza Hut.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
The cross promotion because they had the sunglasses.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, it all comes.
Which are not actually in the movie. No, though. I mean they're just futuristic.
It'd be great
sunglasses.
If you could have gotten the ones that are in the movie.
Oh yeah.
The ones that Doc Brown wears.
Yes. Yeah, they didn't have those.
That would have been much cooler and made more sense.
Yeah, and probably would have made them more money because more people would have
wanted it.
And then you could also get the Doc Brown facelift. That's if you order a pizza and a salad.
Yeah. So I think Pizza Hut has a right about the future. It's that hydrator thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The future of pizza.
Well, they better hurry up because they've only got about 4 years.
I know,
They need to get on that.
They do.
Yeah. Man. They also need to figure out how the Cubs are going to win the World Series.
Yeah, and then Jaws 14. We've got a few 19 movies to...
Yeah.
They gotta start putting out some Jaws films.
Yeah, they're probably gonna have to do some of them direct to video, in order to get the distribution out.
Yeah. 3D, though, we're definitely in the age of 3D.
Yeah, who would have thought?
Oh, man. They got it all right. Again.
Damn.
I mean, what else about pizza?
What about pizza? It's awesome.
It's good.
It's great. It's,
You can't go wrong. It's hard. I'm rarely not in the mood to eat
pizza. Yeah.
Pizza.
Let's go get some. Let's put pizza in the archive. And put some pizza.
All right. It's been archived.